onto the your Ask Me a Question series. Anyone wants to start with that one? Christina, you had a question you wanted to talk to me, you said.
I believe we can discuss. It's more like we study, it's connected with our teacher training. So that's the question maybe we'll discuss tomorrow. But I wanted to discuss you, but I have like a more like philosophical, practical question, if I could ask.
Yes, yeah.
That's like the basic, as I understand that we believe that everything belongs to God, yes? So what we are owning, our body, our family, everything belongs to Him. And like in human laws, like an object, it belongs to a person, and if someone tries to take it, we have to take it back. My question is, if, for example, our actions, that we try to get something that belongs to us from someone else, if it creates danger for us, at what point we can surrender to this situation and let it go? Maybe because last week you talked about Shiva, and you also talked that it's best. The energy of destroyer is also important in our life. And sometimes if something destroyed or something taken from us, this also can be good. That also can be a new point for us to go further and achieve something. So where to find this balance? So it's our obligation to fight for what we have if it was taken from us. But maybe sometimes it's better to let it go.
Yes, it's a question. First part of the question is, everything is God. Is there any free will? It's everything is belongs to Him. If there is a free will, if you take that one, yes, everything belongs to God. So what I am, should I have to do? Yes, otherwise you will slip into what is called as laziness, lethargyness. What it is saying, there is the total freedom in action is there for Him. Everything happens because of Him. We have a limited freedom of it's a freedom, our freedom in action is limited. Whereas inert material, for example, rock, there is no kartritva, there is no action. In us, there is an action but limited. In God, there is an unlimited. Everything happens according to Him. What we have to do, you have to do, think that you have to do your role, but in the attitude of surrender to Him. The not to get attached with the outcome, but you have to do your bit. You're playing the game of your life. As a player, you have to throw behind your heart, behind your game, but inside you know that I'm just playing. In the drama company, that I'm playing my role as a main actor, hero or villain, but I should be always aware He is the director. I am playing, I am not taking everything too seriously. Too seriously, whatever I am now, in 2024, come 50 years, what I thought this is most important, paying my mortgage is too, so important, having my house is most important. But come 50 years, nothing matters. Whatever I thought was important, irrelevant. Irrelevant for the time being, appear to be very important, but down the line, it is not important. but I should know, I should play the game such a way that, yes, it's so important, but down the line it's not important. You be there, not to be there. You play the game. When you know that one, that person can play the game of life joyfully. Yes, I am a bit sad, I did not get something, but I will reconcile. I reconcile, that is how we have been sent here to the game of our life, with a joy. We have to play and celebrate our life, not to get too attached, too possessive, and too regret, and everything belongs to him. In Ishavasi Upanishad starts with saying, Ishavasi idam sarvam yatkincham jagatyam jagata. Everything belongs to him. You play your game of your life without any attachment. Not to get too hung up on something happened, some profit, some loss. Not to get too hung up. Everything belongs to him. You are here to play the game. That is the Life Sutra. Life Sutra. Everything, we are just in the pawn in the chessboard. We have to, as a horse, as a elephant, as a camel, we have to play the role, but he is the one enabling us to play. Play your role, not to get hung up. It's a good question. I don't know whether I answered you, but in a way I touched upon what you wanted. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And Kushi said she can't come tomorrow. Kushi, you want to turn on the camera and talk about the second assignment you have with you?
Yeah. So I think the second assignment was like potentially Yoga Sutra and like the comparison to Bhagavad Gita. I'm going to be completely honest, I didn't.
And yato yato nischarati, what can you explain on that one?
Yato yato nischarati manaschanchala mastiram. Manaschanchala mastiram.
What does it mean?
I can't remember, I just came back from work. I'm sorry, uni. I can't remember exactly, but I just had an introduction to the potentially Yoga Sutra. I remember asking you about like the first pada and like just what each of the padas meant. So like a lot of what I drew from was kind of from the first pada. And it's kind of about the foundation, so that's kind of what I drew from, because I don't have a lot of life experience and I don't have super experience with yoga as well. So that's kind of what I like started with. And so like the topics, I kind of drew from what the topics I talked about in my first assignment, which is like about detachment. So I searched up about like SGS, which is like the Datta Pita stuff. They had stuff on potentially Yoga Sutra that Amma, like my mom, had access to. So I was looking at that and they had separated each of the verses and like I guess the slokas in the potentially Yoga Sutra on topics. So like I found a topic about detachment, which is something I felt like I related to, especially when like I think, you know, I mean, it's something definitely I'm still like struggling and like I learn about, is like you do your actions not to get an outcome or a positive outcome from it. So I think that's kind of what I learned from most, and I used the same kind of slokas from my Bhagavad Gita assignment. Yeah, like the slokas I've got to memorize, I think, a little bit more, especially as we come closer to our next assignment and our next like thing. But yeah, like I kind of chose my like sutras based on that. And also the book, both of the books, the Swami Vivekananda one and the one that I had borrowed from you, I didn't completely understand or connect with it, just because I felt like the experience that I've had wasn't maybe the experience that they were talking to.
Also, what is Swadharma? You mentioned about Swadharma.
Swadharma Pichami, like the sloka?
You mentioned about Swadharma. Stick to your Swadharma. Shreyan Swadharmo Vigunaha. What?
it's kind of stick to your, like, isn't it just like stick to your kind of like responsibilities and kind of your true nature? Like, don't change because of what other people are saying.
Yeah, and this assignment for everyone, not for the sake of submitting, understand. That is why I asked everyone to talk to me before bounce it with me, whether it is right, whether my assignment is right, not for the sake of submitting. As Kushi says, I did not understand, but I still submitted. That is not the purpose. Learning should be there. It's not a normal school where you are compelled to submit the assignment by what did you understand? Is there some learning has happened? That is the key behind your assignment. Yeah. Thank you. Any more questions? Kushi, any more comment on your learning?
Just in general, I guess I was kind of learning, like, the main topic for me was, again, like, detachment. I think I had mentioned a lot, like, about, like, the, you know, in school especially, because that's kind of my whole experience. It's just more of a comment, more so than a thing. I feel like there are parts where I feel like we all kind of relate to Arjuna in the sense of his questioning and his confusion about stuff. I think I do have a lot of, maybe not anxiety, but I'm very anxious about things because I want things to pan out in a perfect way for me. And I think the Bhagavad Gita has been kind of a more stone and kind of like reading to it and like kind of understanding it in that way. Especially kind of like, for me, it's more like chapter 2 and chapter, chapter 2 and chapter 3, which is like, I think in the videos that I had seen, kind of talked about like your soul is kind of eternal. And none of, like, what you do is really you. It's more so things that have been laid out. That's just kind of my understanding. It's something that I'm still learning as I go through not only teacher's training, but just young adulthood.
Thank you. Yeah. Now, over to others. Anyone has any comments? Questions?
Guruji, something related to what Kushi said. Chapter 15, we learn about detaching ourselves, right? So we, you know, how you cut off the bondages that are binding us and, you know, liberate ourselves. The question is, as a teacher, for example, offering services, how do we perceive this connection? Like, in a way, you're bound by your duties. Can you explain this?
Which shloka you're talking about? Which shloka we are talking about?
The chapter in whole, the chapter 15, Urdhva Moola Mahashtaka, that's all about, you know, how you cut off your attachment to bondages.
Yeah. Strong acts of detachment. When you are detached, only best in you comes out. Best in you. You are here to travel to Sydney. You are so focused. But if you are not so focused, detached about the attractions along the way, you can't reach Sydney. If you are so attached to the attractions along the way, every petrol station along the way and every suburb, every small town, there are some attractions. If you are not detached, detached means the strong acts of detachment I talked in the class also, attaching yourself to Sydney. By whatever means I have to attach to go to Sydney. Detachment means you are attaching yourself to Sydney. If your intensity to longing to reach Sydney is not there, you will take ever to reach Sydney. You will take ever. That detachment means have a longing to reach. Reach, Sumana was saying that why push teachers? They have so many things in their life. Let them enjoy their life. Yes, from student point of view, it is a rosy life, cozy life. Yes, I want to enjoy everything and every holiday, every long holiday, I want to enjoy. Yes, but from the person who has traveled further in life, from that person's point of view, yeah, life is ebbing away. I have been to through that path. It's so much of wastage in your life. So many time wasters are there. It's an opportunity to move quickly, further develop interest. The time invested on you, this path, it never will go waste. It is a two point of view. From the student point of view, yes, I want to enjoy every bit of my holiday, long weekend, everything. And I want to take it life easy, enjoy. But one who has traveled in this path knows it's so much of wasting the time. What has gone, it won't come. That teacher is ready, student should utilize that one. When the teacher has gone, we may not find another teacher in this life. We may not find. So, what is important, the two point of view, and Sri Krishna is talking from that point of view, who has traveled further in life. If you want to travel further, get attached to that one. So, intensity naturally comes. If I, from the student point of view, there are only 10 long holidays, long weekends in Australia. Why not utilize, chill out, enjoy, and it's a long life. We have up to 100 years, long time. Yes, that also is right from the student point of view. And there is no right or wrong answer in life, but only the point of view. Point of view, Sri Krishna says, strong attachment. What you attach, you will get the intensity accordingly. If you are attached only to go to a party, your intensity in life is up to going up to the party. If your attachment to your life is to go to Satopant, your intensity is up to Satopant. If you are attached to becoming someone extraordinary in your life, your attachment to always thinking, what can I do? What can I do? How can I be different? How can I be different? Your intensity is life directly proportional to your detachment to the small things and attachment to the goal. How you define the goal is according to you. Okay? Yeah. Thank you. Yes, more question. Yes, Julie.
Guruji, namaste, namo nama. I had a question. I don't know, maybe it's a silly. I'm a bit confused. And I want to understand the Sankhya Yoga. So, chapter 2 of Gita is based on Sankhya Yoga. And when I was doing a bit of research on Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, it talked about that it also has the principles of Sankhya Yoga. But I actually, the more I read about Sankhya Yoga, I get more confused. So it's to do with Purusha, Prakriti, but then it has got Rajas, Tamas, everything intertwined. So I actually just want to get a simple meaning of what is actually Sankhya Yoga and now, how it is.
It's second chapter, it is though Sankhya, another meaning of Sankhya is Samyak. It's a complete Samyak. Samyak means in totality. It covers, it is the second chapter is also called as the summary or chapter of all chapters of Bhagavad Gita. Samyak also, it is it covers Karma Yoga, it covers about Jnana Yoga, it talks about the person of who has made that attained the highest, Sthita Prajnasya Ka Bhasha, it talks about. It covers about all dimensions of yoga. it is Sankhya is Samyak Yoga. Yes, Samyak Yoga. And Sankhya also it is the Kapila there is Sankhya Yoga in Kapila talks about Sankhya Yoga. It is talking about Purusha and Prakriti. Purusha, by the last week I briefly mentioned about in the meditation class on Sunday, and Karya Karana, mind and senses. Mind is called as Karana, senses are called as Karya. Why the mere presence of the object, mind gets enlivened and action is done. The object is called as Prakriti, and this is the doer is called as Purusha. Mere presence of the Prakriti, Karya Karana Kartritve Prakriti Hetiruchi Hetiruchiyate. Mere presence, Prakriti gives us so many things, tempts us to do so many things. So it tempts us, do you want this one? Yes, I want that one. Do you want this one? I want that one. The otherwise, the I was very, for example, I claim myself, my hands are clean. Why? Because nobody is giving me bribe. If somebody starts giving me bribe, I will grab it. Now I am saying that my hands are clean because I did not get an opportunity. The Prakriti, if that starts tempting me, I get sucked into that one. So otherwise I was good. Something has tempted me. So when the game of life is over, when Prakriti no longer tempts, then it is said your game is over. Okay, you go. I can't, Prakriti fails. Sorry, I can't tempt you any longer. Your game is over. For others, we still want to play because we get enchanted with so many things. So many things, Prakriti keeps on showing. Do you want this one? I want that one. I get attached to that one. Then resulting in anger, anxiety, depression, fear of losing. It keeps on tempting us. Do you want this one? Do you want whatever you ask? I want that one. And I start crying after that. I lost that one. I'm anxious. I'm depressed. I'm very angry. So, as long as Prakriti keeps on throwing this one and wants to play with us. Like a small baby, we parents play with the baby. Do you want this one? Ball has gone. Ball, I show the ball, baby starts crying. I want that ball. I want that ball, that Prakriti. That is a Sankhya Yoga, Prakriti and Purusha. What Bhagavad Gita, Yesha Brahmi Stiti Partha Nainam Prahpya Imuhyati Stitvasya Antakalepi Brahma Nirvanam Ritchati. One no longer gets tempted by the Prakriti, that person is free. Okay, you are free now, you can go, your game is over. Until then, so many lives, my vengeance, anger, carry forward anger. I want to, that one. I lost this one in this life, I will have it in next life. Next life, that keeps on, that is the cause for rebirth. Thank you. Yeah, hopefully I try to convince you. Sir. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And anyone else? Any more questions?
I was saying I had a question, but after all the training teachers asked.
Okay. Yeah, training teachers have special session tomorrow. And
it's just in connection to the previous question, I might push you tomorrow. if I may ask, just about taking the rebirth to finish off all everything we have collected so far, Guruji.
We also hear about Kali Yuga being, you know, where you actually, you know, whatever you have accumulated is where you finish off as well. Is that true then? I mean, so in Kali Yuga, you would be taking lives to finish it off, or is it in this life itself? Like, what does that mean?
There's not only one Kali Yuga. It is Brahma's lifespan. It's a combination of Satya Yuga. I talked about Kali Yuga, 432,000 years. Twice as much is Dwapara, thrice as much is Treta, four times is Satya Yuga. That is one circle. That type of thousand cycles are called as 12 hours of Brahma, 12 hours, and same amount of 12 hours he will have a night time, he will no action. After 12 hours, everything get dissolved, come beginning of next day, morning, everything, whatever unfinished people, they will be thrown back again. Because soul, our soul also, playing the game so long from body to body, it requires rest also. After 12 hours of rest, and again, next day. So, 360 days is 1 year of Brahma. Again, such 100 is 100 years of Brahma. That comes to 3.31,000, 104,000, followed by 10 zeros. Number of years is Brahma's lifespan. Until then, that if you are caught up, if you did not realize, you will be thrown out and in, going in and out. But the people who have gone up to Mahaloka, up to there, they have freedom to come of their choice. Otherwise, they are caught up and they keep on tossed here and there. That concept will come in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita we are covering. And it is not one Kali Yuga, what I meant. It is a thousand Kali Yugas constitute one day of Brahma. It's a, where did I get this information? It is all covered in the Shastras, in Srimad Bhagavatam also it talks about. And Rita.
Thank you.
Yeah, so my question is that when we are
thrown
out, what is Kevala Kumbhaka and how does one experience Kevala Kumbhaka?
Kevala Kumbhaka, in Kalidasa he talks about Parvati, when she saw Shiva for the first time, and she was in such a state, he gives an analogy, a river Ganga from Himalayas is gushing down, and it is confronted with a big mountain. So he says, that river was neither moving nor stationary. That state, it was gushing down, all of a sudden obstruction is there. River was moving in the same circling around, but it is not stationary. But is it moving? It is not moving forward. So, Kevala Kumbhaka is the state, you are effortlessly when you stuck a wonder, such a wonder that you stopped breathing. It was such a great wonder. You never had thought that one, you realized that one something. At that moment, your breathing stops. Breathing stops, that is what in Om, the first letter talks about, what a wonder. You have nowhere to explain what is that one. only in Taittiriya talks about I can't explain. You want to say something, but you don't know what words to say. The words have fallen short to explain that one, you open your mouth, you try to close your lips, or you are opening again. You don't know where to start, where to end. At that, when it happens, your breathing stops naturally. Your breathing is paused. It is not a forceful stopping, not closing the nostrils. At that point, it is called as Kevala Kumbhaka, without natural stoppage of breathing. When a person dies, it is an unnatural stoppage of breathing. Here, natural, when that moment, Parvati, when she saw the Shiva, her breathing had stopped. That Kalidasa mentions, says, when you experience something beyond imagination, you are neither inhaling nor exhaling. That is Kevala Kumbhaka. Any more questions?
Guruji, I have one. What is Chidakash, and how to know if something that comes into your vision is real or is illusion?
Chidakash is chid is chitta. Chitta and chetana. Chitta is personal expansiveness. You feel the unlimited, you have broken all shackles in your life. Experience, your life becomes a celebration. Now every step is a bondage. Every step, everything is a struggle in my life. When you experience that one, inner freedom, you experience, you have broken all shackles in your life. The Chida Akasha. Akasha means Avakash. Avakash, infinite opportunities. Chid. Chit means Chit. Mana, Buddhi, Ahankara, Chitta, Chetana. In that expansiveness you discover within. You feel no boundaries within. Ocean, you experience the ocean of joy from within. Today I talked about in the class also, who's that Parvati's daughter. It's a take me to the ocean of joy, I added. Is that one, when it happens, that Chidakasha. You have broken all limitations. And whether you are experiencing, you know that one. Whether you have experienced or every step is a struggle. Yeah. And any more?
Sorry, Guruji. I had one. I think in regards to Nisha's question, you mentioned about attachment. You mentioned that teachers and students have different standards. And I guess, I'm not sure if you can hear me. And then my question in regards to that was, where do you draw that line? Because some teachers are teachers in some disciplines, but it's students in other disciplines. So that was kind of my question. That was just kind of my question. Where do you draw that line as to what standard to hold a teacher to and a student to, when someone can be a student in one aspect, but a teacher in another?
Yeah, can you rephrase the question?
You mentioned that teachers and students have different standards.
No, I mentioned from the one who has traveled further and one he's right in the beginning. And your question is where to draw the standard. Standard, always aspire to excel in your life. You are, have a role model in your life. Have a role model and set your goal high enough to inspire you to travel further. if your friends are ordinary, thinking ordinary, your goal also, what you reach, the destination you reach also will be ordinary. Ordinary. So, best is, you can have two things. One is a very lenient teacher. Doesn't say anything. Do whatever you want. You will get 100 out of 100. Or a teacher sets a high bar for you. It's a high bar, though appear to be very tough and challenging, difficult, but in a long run, you appreciate. You appreciate some teachers, they were so strict because of when you grow up, you will say, because of the teacher, I am what I am. If had the teacher been very lenient, very casual, not at all concerned, so I would not have traveled this long, this further. So, in your life also, that is what in children class also I tell, have a role model. Set a role model high and accordingly is your intensity in your life. And it is very difficult to find a right teacher. A right teacher, and in the class also Prashant asked the question, and whether teacher should come down to the student level and not to move up, or motivate students to move up in their life. That two things, whether teacher settles down in the student level or motivates, pushes the student to climb the ladder to reach the teacher's level. Okay, two dimensions, and depending on the situation, you have to apply them. Okay. Who was the other one was asking? Lakshya, you have any question? Or I can't hear any more comment. If not, shall we move on to Upanishad? Mundaka Upanishad, we started a few weeks back. Last week before, we touched upon Hiranmaye Pare Koshe Virajam Brahma Nishkalam Tat Shubram Jyotisham Jyoti Tadedatma Vido Viduhu. Hiranmaye, whatever alluring, whatever tempting is there, beyond that one is there the supreme, the all pervading things. It is urging us, go beyond. I talked about Julie asked the question, Prakriti and Purusha. Whatever is tempting, even the sun also, it is how long sun can illumine our life? Only in the daytime. It cannot illumine us in the night time. So sun is not a permanent guiding, it cannot guide us forever. Sun can guide us only for a short duration in the day. Beyond that one, Brahma Nishkalam, Tat Shubram Jyotisham Jyoti, Tad Yadatma Vido Viduhu. Beyond that one, there is impeccable light of all lights, ever pure, is there, the knowers of the truth long to experience that one. What is that one? To explain further on that one, we had covered that one, the new sloka for today. Here it is talking about the sun can illumine us only 12 hours a day in the daytime. And what about in the night time? We can say now the full moon is approaching, Holi is coming. What about moon? Moon can be there on full moon night, but it is not there on no moon night. Okay, that if no moon night, then what about stars will be there? Can stars illumine? Stars can illumine only on the no moon night, but if it is sky is covered by the cloud, I can't see the stars. Even stars are not permanently cannot guide me. If it is sky is covered, stars cannot guide me. So if the cloud is sky is covered with the cloud, can the lightning illumine me? The lightning it's only for short duration, and so outside things cannot illumine. What about I come home and light up a lamp, the lamp inside, will it illumine me? That small jyoti, will it illumine me? Here the shloka says, even the permanently sun cannot, you can't depend on, and the sun in the sky, nor moon in the sky, nor the stars, nor the lightning, nor the agni in your kitchen or in the altar, the lamp. You cannot depend on them. Na tatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam. It is repeat after me. Na tatra suryo bhati.
Na tatra suryo bhati.
Na chandra tarakam. Nema vidyuto bhanti.
Nema vidyuto bhanti.
Kuto yamagnihi.
Tameva bhantam.
Anubhati sarvam.
Tasya
bhasa. Sarvam idham vibhati. It is talking about these. He has given five references: sun, moon, stars, lightning, and fire. These all five are illumining because of that light. That because of that light, all these are illumined. That light illumines everything, all these five, not only all these five, illumines everything in our life. Illumining everything. Ask the question, how do you see? One student said, I see through the eyes. In the daytime, I see through the eyes. In the night time, how do you see? Moonlight or in the lightning I see. And when there is pitch dark, no lightning and no stars, it is covered everything. Then one says, I am able to perceive because of the light in my heart. When the light in the heart is there, everything comes to my cognition. When that light has gone, I can't perceive anything. I can't perceive anything. That is why the dying person, they go near that person. They ask the question, do you recognize me? That person not responding. So they pinch him. Can you feel? No, that person is not responding. The senses have shut off, eyes cannot see, and doctors open the eyelids and put the torch. Lids are not blinking. They are concluding that this person is dead. So, the last faculty leaves the body is from the ears. That is why people go near the right ear and say the sacred mantra. May this soul hear the parting message from me and go. It's the last message. They do the chanting of Rama mantra or Vishnu Sahasranama, some positive. This is the last parting message from me. Hear that one and go. So, this because of that light, everything is illumined. Seek that light. Not to get tempted with the secondary thing, they themselves are dependent on that one. When everything, brilliant things are dependent on that one, why you also not to seek that one? Seek that one, when you seek that one, you also become brilliant in your life. You also become the next sutra, that flowing on that one, it is the Supreme Lord alone was there before, he is there behind, he is on the right, he is there in the left, he pervades everywhere, above and below this universe, Supreme Brahman, all pervading, he is within also. It's Brahmo Veda Avritam Purastat Brahma Paschat Brahma Dakshinastat Uttarastat Adoschartam then Brahma Veda Vishwaidam Varishtam. And in the similar to Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna explains that one. Nama purastadata prishtataste namostute sarvata eva sarvam anantaviryam amitavikramastvam sarvam samapnoshi tatosi sarve. Arjuna realizes that one, you are everywhere, front, back, side, up, down. He in the Vishwarupa cosmic form, Arjuna experiences that that anubhuti, that experience, mundaka, whatever mundaka is talking about, Arjuna also experiences. And we will start the new chapter, we'll just start. It is a very interesting shloka, and we'll expound further next week. Dva Suparna. Sayuja Sakaya. Samana Vriksham. Parishasvajate. Tayoranya. Pippalam Swadvati. Pippalam Swadvati. Na Ashna Anyo. Abhichakashiti. Abhichakashiti, it is talking about in the same tree, two birds are sitting. Two birds are sitting in the same tree. One bird is always happy, always contented, and always contented, whereas other bird eats that fruit a bit and not happy, jumps to the next branch, eats something, not happy, eats something, not happy, keep on jumping from one branch to another in search of the joy, eating all fruits but still not happy. But other bird, it looks out after many jumping onto many branches, realizes, looking at that bird, how come that bird is always happy, not eating? I have been eating everything, name a thing I am enjoying, but still I am not in joy. How come I am suffering? How come this is in joy? When that bird starts looking at that one, it realizes, I have been eating karma phala so long. So many lives I am eating, still not happy. I want to become like that. When it turns its attention to other bird, this bird, restless bird, jumping from one branch to another, it slowly start moving towards that bird to get basked under the our aura of that bird. I want to go close to that one. I want to learn. Repeat again. Dva Suparna Sayuja Sakaya.
Samana
Vriksham Parishasvajate.
Samana Vriksham.
वृक्षं परिशश्व जाते
तयोरन्या पिप्पलं स्वाद्वत्ति
तयोरन्या पिप्पलं स्वाद्रत्रि
स्वाद्वत्ति
स्वाद्वत्ति
न अश्न अन्यो
न अश्न अन्यो
अभिचाकशीते
अभिचाकशीते
Then we will. This requires a further elaboration. Then we will conclude with the shloka. Dyo Shanti.
Dyo Shanti.
Antariksham Shanti.
Antariksham Shanti.
Prithivi Shanti.
Prithivi Shanti.
Apas Shanti.
Apas Shanti.
Oshadaya Shanti.
Oshadaya Shanti.
Vanaspataya Shanti.
Vanaspataya Shanti.
Vishve Deva Shanti.
Vishve Deva Shanti.
Brahma Shanti.
Brahma Shanti.
Sarvam Shanti.
Sarvam Shanti.
Shantireva Shantihi.
Shantireva Shanti.
सामा शांतिरेधि
सामा शांतिरेधि
ओम शांति शांति शांति
ओम शांति शांति शांति